is holy this morning. Oh, we fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let's sing it one more time now. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Cry, praise Your name this morning. Hallelujah to His name this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad this morning? Hallelujah for this privilege today that we can come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that song. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Are you this morning? Amen. Hallelujah, to say that You're a new creation this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, He redeemed me, and I'm born again to win. I thank God He justified me of His fullness, have we all received a being. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm new born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah, He redeemed me. Glory. And I'm born again to justified me of His fullness. Have we all received of Him? Let's worship now. New creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm born again, what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I gotta sing it again. Oh, and hallelujah, He redeemed me. Aren't you glad this morning? And I've been born again to win. Ah! this fullness have we all received of Him. Sing it now. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah to His name this morning. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord this morning. Amen. I feel His presence, don't you? Amen. Let's sing Majesty. Majesty. Oh, worship His majesty. Be all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we praise You today. Oh, majesty, hallelujah. Word of authority. Glow from His throne unto His own. His anthem praise. Lord, we glorify Your name today. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus again. Oh, majesty. We worship Your majesty today. Glory to Your name. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Sing it again now. Oh, majesty. Glory to God. Oh, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we praise You today. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, worship His majesty. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all. Jesus, who died, now glorified, King of all. Hallelujah. Praise His name this morning. I want to welcome you to the service today. And just appreciate each one of you. Appreciate this privilege to be here this morning. We want to welcome you if you're a visitor this morning. I want to especially welcome you to the service. I want you to just feel at home. And those listening by way of internet, we're glad you could be listening in, and trust God would just give you a special blessing this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many feel like traveling on this morning? Amen. How many is going to travel on, whether you feel like traveling on or not? Sometimes we don't feel like traveling on. We have our low places, our hard places that we go through. But you know, we're not trusting in our feelings this morning. We're trusting in Him. Have our hush. My heavenly home, bright and fair, I feel like traveling home. No pain nor death can enter there, I feel like traveling home. Oh yes, I feel like traveling. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Matt Cross if he would come this morning as we take our request this morning. We want to remember Sister Sarah Vasaki that is away. Also, Peter and Rachel are traveling today. We want to remember them. Brother David Whitlock is working. We miss him this morning. Brother Julian Ivy is in France, so we want to remember all these that are away this morning. We want to remember Brother Bill Walters. He's with us this morning, still having problems with his blood pressure. Pray that God would just correct that situation. And you know, he drives a truck, and if he can't get it down, he could lose his commercial license. So let's remember Brother Bill as you pray. Remember Sister Fulcher. We're thankful for the good report that we heard from her this week, and pray God would just continue to touch her. Amen. I have one note says, I want to thank my Lord Jesus after 13 months I got to put on a regular shoe on my left foot. Sister Maude, and I know that means a lot. Amen. I'm sure. Amen. She appreciates that more than we do. So we just thank you for that. Thank God for that dealing and touching her foot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that song. I will praise the Lord as brother comes. Amen, Brother Matt. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter tomorrow has in store, I will praise the Lord. We'll get it after a while. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord.
Let's just bow our heads just a moment. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, we come before you this morning truly with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, sometimes we fail to realize how much we take for granted. Lord, when we bring our requests before you, Lord, we're reminded of how much we have to truly be thankful for, Lord Jesus. So we come before you, Lord, today with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, for what you've already done for us, Lord. Time is just not sufficient to quantify all that, Lord Jesus. But we're reminded of what you have done for us. And Lord, we give you thanks, first of all, Lord, just to approach you with thanksgiving, Lord. Then, Lord Jesus, for the needs that have been represented, Lord Jesus. Lord, those who are traveling, Lord Jesus, Brother Peter and Sister Rachel, Brother Julian over in France, Lord Jesus, we pray that as they travel, Lord Jesus, you'll grant to them rest, restoration in their minds and bodies and spirits, and that you'll keep them safe, Lord Jesus, as they travel. Lord, for the health needs that have been represented, Lord Jesus, for Brother Bill Walters, Lord Jesus, for Sister Fulcher, Lord Jesus, for Brother David Whitlock, who's working today, Lord Jesus. We pray that according to each need, Lord, that's represented, Lord Jesus, Lord, you'll deal with each one, Lord, out of your loving kindness, Lord Jesus, according to each need. Lord, for needs that aren't represented here by anything more than just a need upon someone's heart, Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll deal with each individual, each heart, and each need that's represented before you, Lord. We just lay it on the altar before you, Lord Jesus. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come down and consume us, Lord. That your presence would be with us today and that your word would speak to us. We ask and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll praise the Lord. Sing it now. Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I hallelujah. Praise His holy name this morning. Shake hands there with your brother or sister as you're being seated. Amen. Brother Keith's going to sing for us if he'd get ready. I have one announcement. The Adult Choir will practice today at 3 p.m. This will be our last rehearsal before next weekend's meeting. So remember that this evening at 3 p.m. Adult Choir will be practicing. I also want to say, remember my wife in prayer. She's had lots of trouble sleeping at night. And not only just the pain, but just being able to sleep. And I said, you know, who's to blame for that? And it's old Satan himself, our enemy. And so I believe he's just been trying to pull a number there. So when you pray this week, pray for her.
I'm sure if you ever had a true, genuine experience with the Lord, you can certainly say that you are never the same that you were before you had that experience. I'm going to try a brand new one on you this morning. Paul met the Lord on Damascus Road. He never was the same again. When Peter met the Lord and left his boat, he started fishing for men. Now I'll not be Peter Paul, but one thing I can truly say, when I met the Lord and made it my choice, He definitely made a change. He made a change in the way that I'm walking. Made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new. He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Now I've seen some old friends shaking their heads, 'cause they never thought they'd see the day when a sinner like me would praise the Lord and bow my head to pray. Now I'm not what I used to be. You see, my life has been rearranged. Oh, it's nothing that I've done, but I have found someone who definitely made a change. He made a change in the way that I'm walking. Made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new. Oh, He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Made a change in the way that I'm walking. Made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new. Oh, He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Oh, He made a change in the way that I'm walking. Made a change in the way that I'm talking. Old things pass away. Behold, everything's new. Yes, He made a change in the life that I'm living. I'm born again, set free, finally forgiven. If He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Make a change in me, He can make a change in you. Oh, I said, if He can make a change in me, He can make a change in you. He made a change.
you, Buchanan family. You will make a change. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad that He made a change. If our ushers would come this morning, worship Him in our giving. Amen. Let's sing that song, He Abides, He Abides. Amen. If you would stand this morning again, ask Brother Andy to pray over the offering this morning. Satisfies my soul since the Comforter abides with me. Sing it now, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I rejoice in night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides. There's no thirsting for the things of the world they've taken me. Long ago I gave Him up and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Let's sing it now, He abides, He abides. Another good hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah to Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. As Brother Barry gets ready to come this morning, let's sing, I cast all my cares upon Him. Glad this morning that we can turn to Him to cast our problems to Him, our cares, whatever it may be. Let's sing it. I cast all my cares upon You. I lay all my burden down at Your feet, and any time just what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you. I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burden down at your feet. Anytime I don't know just what to do, I cast all my cares on you. Let Him, He is my everything. He is my everything this morning. He's my everything today. He is everything. He is my all. He is my everything. Oh,
into our hearts and have your, sing it again now, just close your eyes, just set this time aside for Him. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As we wait, as we wait. Speak your word into our hearts and have your way. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the reality of your presence in our lives, and Lord, just the opportunity to be able to come and to be able to knock on your door, to be able to touch the hem of your garment as you pass by, to be able to bring hard and difficult questions to you, Lord. And for you, Lord, to be a God to whom we can ask tough questions and tell you, Lord, that we don't always understand your ways because your ways are higher than our ways. But Lord, you have condescended, I believe, especially even in this last day, you have condescended to give us an understanding, Lord, a message that helps us, Lord, to tap into the mind of Christ in so many ways. I pray now that you would minister, Lord, to every heart. I pray you would minister to every need that has been presented before you today. I thank you, Lord, personally for the answered prayer on behalf of my mother-in-law. And I ask, Lord Jesus, you would just continue to undertake for her and for the future. Father, have your way, we pray. We commit this day to you. And ask, Lord, that you would just receive our time, our worship, and our gifts, Lord, as an offering to you. We bind our hearts together now and just say, Lord, we love you and we're excited to be in your presence today. Speak to our hearts now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. I'm going to ask our musicians just to hang on for a moment here, if you don't mind, and we'll sing another little chorus here in just a moment. But let me do a little business here. I don't want to prolong this, but I just want to take care of a few things here today. And I welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's good to have you. I won't mention everybody because we've got quite a juggle going on here of people who have not been here due to traveling and sickness and so forth, but we're just honored to have all of you here today. Good to have the Mills family here today, right? God bless you. Good to have them visiting with us today. I wanted to mention, first of all, we have a couple of birthdays and so forth. Some of these are a little bit repetitive, but we didn't have everybody here last Sunday. October 1st was Sister Caitlin's birthday. God bless you, Sister Caitlin, and Brother David. This is the second time around for you. God bless you, and Katie Franklin in Arizona, and Sophie Cockman, also, it's her birthday. Now, Sister Sophie, I got to ask you, how old are you? 9 years old, that's wonderful. David, that means you're getting older. October 4th is the Browns' anniversary. Brother Jaron's not here today, right? He's on call, and we wish the Browns happy anniversary because it's their 16th wedding anniversary. God bless you. Brother Tom Ward's birthday, who's in the lobby, is October 12th. We appreciate Brother Tom very much. And Brother Tom, wherever you are, may God bless you. Jonathan and Simona Walters, their anniversary also is on the 12th, right? How many years for them? Do you know? Somewhere between 10 and 20. God bless them. Good to have Brother Bill with us today, and we've been praying for you, Brother Bill. We have a wonderful group of young people, and a little while back, they came to me of their own accord and said, we would like to do something to honor our joy group. Our joy group are those who are just older youth, hence the acronym JOY. If you're 55 and older, you're automatically, whether you like it or not, enrolled in the Joy group. And they wanted to put on a banquet for the Joy group. And I thought this was one of the a nice fitting event for us to do first after we dedicate our building next week. But they are going to put on a banquet for our young people, if you read it on the email that I sent out yesterday. And they have a special dinner prepared for us and a lovely evening together. So if you're 55 years and older, and your spouse, so this is a very, very, very touchy subject, but if you're 55 or older and your spouse, whatever age they are, you're welcome to come and enjoy the evening together. And the young people are going to cater to that group. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby, so if you don't mind signing up so that we can make sure that we prepare enough for everybody. It'll be 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall on Saturday, November 3rd. And I thought, boy, that's just good thinking on behalf of our young people. And Brother Julian actually was kind of the spark plug and his faithful minion to organize this and get a date that was compatible for everybody. And Julian's not here. He's in France for a wedding, I believe, a relative. And so he's not here today, but he stays in touch with me no matter where he is in the world. And I appreciated his desire to get that going and then hire the cooks and all the other planners and everything else that goes into that. So we really appreciate that. But I would like to say that, you know, here at HBT, we have quite a spread in terms of age, and we have a lot of people who have contributed a lot over the years and served the Lord over many years. And that is no small achievement to have a lifetime of service and dedication to God and to the body of Christ. And so we just appreciate our elders, because in reality, our elders are the reason that we are here. Our elders are the reason that we as younger generation, I'm including myself in that, the younger generation have a place and have a path to follow that's been well-worn by their experiences. And they, of course, in their years walked the path that was set before them. And to live a life worthy of the gospel for years and years and come down through many hardships and challenges in life and to still be serving God at the end of your days, that's a commendable thing. And it's a great example for all of us younger who are following behind. And you young people that are here, we like to acknowledge that. We don't probably do it enough, but we like to acknowledge that and to remind you that there are people that have gone before you, and we appreciate their example and their sacrifice and giving on behalf of the body of Christ. And so today I was speaking with our head trustee, and we were discussing just years of service, and today we wanted to pay a special tribute to Brother Wayne for his years of service. So, Brother Wayne, if you could put down your guitar there just for a moment. We wanted to give him a certificate of appreciation that is for him, just for his years of service. Brother Wayne and Sister Faye have been serving God probably longer than most people here have been alive. And Brother Wayne's been leading, singing, or involved in the music for about a generation, for over 40 years, almost 40 years. And that's a commendable thing. And none of us like change. None of us like the fact that we're getting older. But you know what? It happens to the best of us. Time, tide, and taxes all happen to the best of us. That's where we are. So what we thought we would do here is to make Brother Wayne, rather than allow him to retire as a trustee, we're going to make him a trustee for life. So he can't get away. Brother Wayne, come on up. We just want to say thank you and may God bless you. And this is a certificate of appreciation from our church to you for outstanding service and sacrifice to Hickory Bible Tabernacle. And we want to say we appreciate you and love you, you and your wife. And may the Lord richly bless you. That's framed, ready to go, and ready to hang on your wall. Thank you. May the Lord bless you.
I'd just like to say that it's been a blessing to lead singing to this group here. I count you as my family. You mean so much to me. Love everyone. And like he says, we're not getting any younger. And the older you get, you sort of start losing your confidence. So we really need your prayers, but we appreciate Brother Barry and the family. Love everybody so much. And I don't deserve this, but I just want to say thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Billy. If there was no Brother Wayne, there wouldn't be any Brother Barry, because he was the one who called me first and had me come here, and we appreciate I get hundreds of thousands of phone calls, but I remember that phone call when Brother Wayne called me first time, and we talked about a number of different things, so it was just a
Now, when you came into church today, you may have noticed that there was something a little bit different in the lobby. And we appreciate Brother Steve and Sister Sarah and their work in designing the display. That is a first part of things that are going to be changing there. And some of the changes that are on there, and we're going to change the spelling mistakes, don't worry. That was not their fault. But we had them to work on that design, because that design is in part coincidental or in harmony with, I'm looking for a word here, in harmony with our new website. And so I don't know if you've had a chance to go to our new website, but it is now launched and it is on display and it is absolutely tremendous. It was months and months in the making. And it's got a whole bunch of new features that are already embedded in it and some that are coming. The boys, Steve and Lucas, who did all the coding and the actual physical work, I don't know where they are. They're around here somewhere. And they labored hard to make the site as functional as possible, streamlined as possible, and to be able to be user-friendly for us as an assembly. And so it's going to have a bunch of features in there that are really neat for you. And then a place where you can turn people to. You can refer this site to people and say you want to get a sense of you know, this church and who we are and what we're about, what we believe, and so forth. This is a good place for you to go. They made the whole streaming process and archive system very simple, and so these are some of the kinds of things that you'll encounter. We'll have announcements and news and missions information that's there, and then events that are important for our church. I love the way you have quick access now to things that are there. You have last week's sermon, today's sermon, next week's sermon. I don't know how they're downloading next Sunday's sermon, but it's not next Sunday's sermon, but they have a great way of very easily accessing sermons. So today, for instance, we have somebody who's listening online from Saudi Arabia. And we have people from just about everywhere who are, you know, who tag in not only during service but also in the archives and listen. And so we're very thankful for that and for them to be able to have such nice and easy access to the website. So, guys, we thank you and appreciate you very much for all of your labors. It's not a simple task. And it is something that we're very thankful to have come to this place now where we can use this, and you'll see more improvements so as we go along. So make sure you take time to visit it. Very briefly, I just want to say next week, we will be starting our meetings that we have set aside to dedicate our new fellowship hall and to rededicate ourselves. Anytime you have a dedication meeting, it's a good opportunity for us to think about ourselves as well as the physical things that we dedicate. And those are really tools that we use, like the fellowship hall. There are tools that we use in our fellowship here. Friday night, we have our meeting at 7 o'clock. Saturday morning, we have our meeting at 10 a.m. Saturday night, we have our meeting at 7 a.m. Right? What? 7 p.m. We're going to serve a light snack after the Friday night and Saturday night meetings. Okay? So we have a snack plan, something light for everyone after the Friday night service, after the Saturday night service. Saturday morning, we have our service at 10 o'clock, and then we're going to serve a light lunch, and we're going to have some youth activities during the afternoon until 4 o'clock. So the young people are able to stay. We have some that are coming from Toledo and some different places and so forth from Texas. Are going to be coming, and so you're certainly welcome. Young people are going to be activities planned for the afternoon on Saturday. Our hog is almost ready. It's been fattened, and Peter told me, he said, I'm sure glad we planned this well in advance. He said there's a lot to it. But they're going to start the smoking process, I think, sometime on Saturday or way early Saturday morning. And they tend that dude until all the way to lunch on Sunday. So you should get any final updates about the lunch on Sunday from the deacon's wives. And then we'll have a potluck, and we'll roast the hog. It'll be roasting all. I guess that's the draw for services, right? People come and they can smell the hog. But we'll have that going during Saturday and then Sunday, and then be ready for Sunday dinner. So we're looking forward to the time of fellowship. After service on Sunday afternoon, we're going to cut the ribbon out here, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to have a casual singing after that. So in the afternoon, starting around somewhere around 2:30, 3 o'clock, depending on when we get done with lunch, we're going to have some folks singing and just enjoying our time together and kind of fade out for the afternoon. So we're looking forward to our time. I want everybody to be there. And I want you to take some time this week to invite someone to come and enjoy the fellowship with us. And we know everybody's not able to be here on the Sunday, but we want folks to come and enjoy our time together. And ministers are really looking forward to the time here, and they're preparing, and all of those guys are very busy. But they've set aside time to come and really pray about the meeting. So we need to do the same thing this week, and just ask that the Lord would meet us and to bless our time together. It's special. Brother John, why don't you come on? We're going to have him sing this morning for us as well, and then we'll turn to the Word. We appreciate Brother John taking the service on Wednesday night for us and allowing my wife and I to get a little time away. That was really appreciated, it's just nice to be able to do that, and nice to know that the church rolls right on when the pastor's away. And so we appreciate you all very much.
Brother Barry. All right, so good to be with you this morning, and really enjoyed being with you on Wednesday night as well, and thank you for your patience. The diversity in the body of Christ. I'm a numbers person. I was teaching a class on praise and worship. It started up in Boone, and it's a large group of young people. And I was telling everybody the importance of keeping everything, you know, in the right pattern, very familiar chord structure. And my daughters just started laughing because I write their strangest songs. I enjoyed the Buchanan family this morning. Aren't they a blessing? If you don't have their CD, I would really encourage you to get it. It's they're fantastic, and it's available outside. I've got a song pool up here that I've sung here before, so we request it again. And along the lines of Wednesday night, it's called "It Is Finished." There's a line that is drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross a battle is raging to gain a man's soul or its loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons, all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet there on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord." Yet in my heart, the battle was still raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. These were battlefields of my own making.
I didn't know that the war had been won. Oh, but then I heard how the King of the ages had fought all my battles for me, and that victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise His name, I am free. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. Stand and sing it with me. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord.
Believe. Only believe. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. I'd like to sing one little chorus as we turn to the Word this morning. Brother Branham said to a brother one time, this was the angels' favorite song in the meetings. Let's sing it together. Only be. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things possible. Jesus, bless the reading of the Word, we pray, to our hearts. We give the balance of this service now to Your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's take your Bible to Matthew chapter 22, and we'd like to look at just one verse, and that verse is found in verse 14. These words are found in verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let's say it together. For many are called, but few are chosen. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Let me subtitle this morning, We Are Free Moral Agents. I've been asked as well to remember Sister Anita Griffiths. Sister Anita Griffiths is the wife of Brother Albert Griffith, who passed away, lived in New Brunswick, Canada, and was tragically killed a number of years ago. And Sister Griffiths has been going through a heart, some heart problems and some testing, and so we've been asked to remember her in prayer as well. We are free moral agents. We've been asking this question and dealing with the answer, how that a lot of people, if we did a poll, Christians and non-Christians ask this question, believers, and we'd say denominational Christians, they all ask this type of question. If God is good, how come bad things happen in the world? Why is there evil in the world if God is so good and God is the Creator? We've been attempting to answer that question in various ways and going at it from some different angles, because bad things happen, and even bad things that happen to good people. And there are a number of ways we could approach this question, and we've been dealing with it a little bit. Today I want to deal with this on a little more personal level and talk about this question of the fact that we are free moral agents and God has given us choices. Now, we know according to the scripture that we are to keep God's commandments and to walk in His ways and fear Him. One of the things we did last week specifically was to deal with this question of His ways versus His works. You don't have to be a believer to see the works of God. You can even look in the mirror and see the miracle of your physical body, and it is certainly a work of God. It is not just biology, and it isn't just physiology, but it is actually a work of God for you to have a brain that functions even while you're asleep and a semi-automatic nervous system that operates when you're not thinking about things, and all of the other features that occur between your mind and your brain and your heart and all of the other functions that you have, and how that, you know, the bones, like Solomon said, you know, we wonder at how the bones grow in the womb of a mother. And nobody instructs that little child or that little life how to do it, but it happens. And the miracle of life is indeed a miracle. And it, you don't have to be a believer to see the miracle of life and to see the handiwork of God. But it takes a revelation, really, to understand the ways of God. And His ways, the Bible said, are not our ways. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And very often, therefore, it takes a revelation for you to know the ways of God. We're obviously attuned with many of the works of God, but to see and understand the ways of God, that's a different thing. That takes quite an understanding. And so sometimes we even go through difficult things, and there is a tendency, and one author put it this way, that there's a tendency to turn away from God in difficult times. But to what, pray tell, do we turn to? There is a tendency to turn away from God when things go south, when things go bad. And we think, well, you know, why doesn't God help us? And why doesn't God assist us? And why doesn't God do more? And why doesn't God take away all of the sicknesses and all of the problems in this world? It's kind of like if you could imagine a little child, maybe a two-year-old who's in a car accident. And if you just imagine this and how that maybe the car was, and I remember years ago I was in the country of Poland, and it was a holiday weekend. It was a Monday. We were leaving the country, coming back to Warsaw from Wola Petrowa. You remember, some of you remember Brother Peter Snagon, who was here from Wola Petrowa in Poland and ministered for us. And we were on our way from his place, myself and Brother Harold Hillebrandt and a couple of others, and we were in a car and coming through this intersection on a very busy holiday weekend when everybody's traveling, and this car lost control, and it tumbled and turned. It was flipping head over heels, the car was. And it was coming right toward us, and I can still see it in my mind's eye, wouldn't you? And it was there was glass shattering, and there was pieces of the car flying everywhere. They had been to the market, and there was food flying out of the car. There was screaming going on, and this car, thankfully, stopped right in front of our car. And in the car, immediately the gasoline was pouring out onto the road. The windows were all smashed. The car was sitting wheels up. And there was a husband, a wife, and a grandmother, and a little baby in the car seat, strapped in the car seat, in the car. And so it's like you're driving along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden this disaster happens in front of your eyes. And everybody stops, and they jump out. It was just absolutely amazing because the men who came on the scene immediately started rocking the car, and they rocked it and rocked it until they flipped it back over on its wheels. And I remember standing right there and looking at this little boy that was strapped in the car seat, and everybody was bleeding and so forth, and this little child was obviously upset. And the person who reached in had to cut through the debris and had to cut through the seatbelts and so forth, and actually had to work on that little boy in order to get him out of that before that thing exploded. Now, for a two-year-old to be able to look at that and say, you know what, the pain I'm going through right now at the hands of this medic is actually going to save me, is very difficult. You understand what I'm saying? He's got to go through something in order to get out of there, because if we don't do anything and we say, okay, we're not going to cause you any pain or discomfort at all, he would have had to remain in the car and possibly see the thing go up in flames. And so there are times in our life where you have to go through things which are difficult and painful, but we don't see the big picture. Somebody say amen. And I will tell you something, that we serve a God who sees the big picture. And we go through things sometimes that we don't always agree with even, or understand or comprehend completely. Why in the world is this going on? But I will tell you, our God is a planner. Our God is one who understands the present, the past, and the future, and knows exactly where all of this is going. And so Moses tells the people, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Just walk in his ways and fear him, respect him. James chapter 4, James says it this way, what is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. So we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and we shall do this and we shall do that. Because our future, despite what we may think, our future is not in our hands or under our control. There is a higher power. Brother Branham said it this way, so if he's infinite, he knew the end from the beginning, and that's the reason he could predict the end from the beginning. There's a lot of people who actually figured that we shouldn't be here by now. I know my in-laws who years ago they made the prediction that their son, who is 10 years older than my wife, would never be old enough to ever go to school. They were certain, absolutely certain, that time wouldn't go on long enough for him to reach 5 years old to go to school. We think we got to figure it out, don't we? And it doesn't always happen the way we think. But God knows the beginning from the end, so therefore he could predict the end from the beginning. But we know he is infinite and we are finite. So there's our first problem. You don't see or understand the way that God does. We do not comprehend and fathom the way that God does, because he sees the future and he knows how this is going out. And his thought process and his understanding is unlimited. Ours is limited. We really only understand today and how we feel today and, how we were yesterday. And we can think about tomorrow and we can plan tomorrow, but we really don't know, because we are unlimited in terms of what the future holds. We get things so mixed up and so settled that we're right, then God with his infinite mind just rides so far over it. How many of you have made plans and they have been thoroughly disrupted or something different has happened? How many of you have ever experienced that? And many times, I'll tell you what, I've won lots of arguments about doctrine and thought I was absolutely right and found out I was absolutely wrong. But I won the argument. Because eventually you learn more. You learn better. Our understanding expands. That's something that God doesn't experience at all. His experience doesn't, or his knowledge base doesn't become bigger, because he has a finite mind. So therefore, he can know all things. But we get things mixed up and so settled that we're right. Then God with his infinite mind rides over it and says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, said God. His ways are higher than your ways, or our ways. And so we must submit ourselves, therefore, to his way. The best thing you can do is submit yourself to his way. And say, Lord, I don't know where this is going, and I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, and I don't know why things are happening to me the way they are, but they are. And I'm just going to trust somehow. I'm going to fall back on what I know. That's principle number one. We fall back on what we know, that God's way is best, that God knows all about this, and God knows where this has taken me, and I can trust God. At least I know that. I can trust God. How many of you feel you can trust God? Men will fail. You'll even fail yourself. But I'll tell you what, I know I can trust God. So I can always fall back on that anchor or that reference point that I can trust God. And God is good. Now, Brother Branham, we talked about different tragedies. We talked about the great earthquake in Lisbon. There's lots of other examples of natural tragedies that we referred to. And I'd like to bring you to the first seal just for a moment. And Brother Branham talks specifically, or helps us understand, a pattern in the last 2,000 years since about which the book of Revelation is written. And Brother Branham says this in the first seal. He said, this is the pattern. God takes his messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. And then he drops a plague upon them who rejected it, a temporary judgment. Now, you remember last week we talked about Uzzah, right? And he was riding the cart, bringing the cart into Jerusalem, and, you know, sitting up there, and Hail was out in front, and he was back there, and all of a sudden the oxen stumbled, the ark was in danger of tipping over, and he reaches back and steadies it, which any good driver would do, and God executed a temporary judgment on Uzzah, right? Everybody know that motion? It was a breach against Uzzah. It was not full judgment, because if it was full judgment, they all would have died. But it was a temporary judgment, or if you like, a thimble full of judgment that God released there. And Uzzah, who was not able or commissioned to touch the ark, he did. And God didn't want the wrong person to be touching the ark. And so therefore, it was a kind of a temporary judgment. Here's Brother Branham now in the New Testament, and he's saying that over the ages, at the end of an age, God will take the messenger and the elect of that age, put them away asleep, and then drop a temporary judgment. How many know that at the end of the Dark Ages is when Europe experienced the great Black Plague? Right? A little louse that came on the back of a rat and ran rampant all over the place. And almost a third of Europe died. I mean, it was really, really quite an incredible thing. And then Brother Branham said, after that is over, then he goes on and they denominate, bring in denominations. The denominational spirit picks up on that. And then he says, and they start off with that, like man's work of Wesley, all the rest of them. And then it gets into Scrapple again, and then another mystery comes forth. If God sends another messenger, another mystery comes forth. Then what happens? Another messenger arrives on the earth. And when he arrives, trumpet sounds. Trumpet's always used for a gathering or for a calling to war. And then what happens? He said, finally he's caught away, and then he's laid away, and a plague falls and destroys them. What he's referring to here in the first seal, and you ought to go look at it, is the great Spanish flu of 1918. Now, it was not really the Spanish flu. It didn't start in Spain. But it got named in that because Spain kind of said that they had so many cases of it and so forth. But this is a worldwide influenza epidemic that killed somewhere between 25 and 50 million people. It killed more people that were killed in World War I and World War II combined. It was a temporary judgment. It happened so fast that they could not contain it. They could not prevent it. They could not inoculate against it. And it happened to strike people who normally don't get affected by influenza, which is normally the younger people and the older people who are affected. That's why they push flu shots for younger people and older people. But it struck that middle-aged group, 28 to 30, 32, 34, 35-year-old soldiers. And there's lots of pictures of soldiers who were in tents dying of influenza. They would literally drown to death in their own body response to the flu. And it was just a terrible tragedy. And in Philadelphia, when this was at its height, the city of Philadelphia was balancing this idea of whether we're going to have a parade or not, because the outbreak of the flu was so bad, and they were deciding, well, should we have it and shouldn't we have it? It wasn't so bad in Philadelphia, but they said it's a risk to have public gatherings at all in the United States during this time. And the officials, the mayor of Philadelphia, said, I think we can go ahead. I think we're all right. And because a few people had the flu in that parade and sneezed all over everybody else, it spread like crazy in Philadelphia, and lots of people died. Brother Branham described that as a plague. One time I was talking to somebody who sat down with the head of the CDC in Atlanta, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, and I asked the question, I said, what is the thing that keeps them up at night? What do they, when they go home at night, what do they worry about most that could happen in the world? Is it dirty bombs, or is it, an attack from abroad and germ warfare and all the other things? I said, what is it that keeps the CDC scratching their head and hoping never happens? And they said, their answer was that this repeating itself again would be the thing that we would least like to see in the world. Because now we're so interconnected by air travel, all it would take is for that outbreak to happen, say, in China, in a duck market, and all of a sudden people getting on planes, and they would travel around the world, and we'd have another plague again. But this was actually God dropping a temporary judgment after that time when John Wesley's age ended and so forth. And Brother Branham says, then a plague falls. And I'm not making this up. I mean, you can go back and read this more specifically, even in the first seal. And he said, a plague falls and destroys them. As a spiritual death hits the church and she's gone, she's taken a denominational spirit, and God can't give them the further intercourse of the word. He says, then he goes on to another one. And he said, it's a great plan until the last church age. So there's a significant change that takes place in the last church age. Now, I'm trying to stay on track as best I possibly can. We use the example when we talk about God's ways versus God's works last Sunday, talking about how David had respect unto God. He said it's a good thing to give thanks unto God and to sing praises unto his name, and to do that with fear and respect. And the idea is that no matter what we celebrate, no matter what we do, no matter what the occasion of our gathering is, if it's a regular church service, we want to do everything with one eye on God to make sure we're doing things according to the word. And we don't want to ever assume that we don't need God's involvement, we don't need God's direction, we don't need his instruction at all, we can do this. And that's when David found out bringing the ark into the city of Jerusalem, as good as it sounded and as happy event as it was, hey, because everybody had an instrument, it seemed like it was a great thing, but it was not God's will. And they celebrated like it was God's will. They celebrated with all the music and instruments and the joy and the singing like it was God's will. And God looked at that great big party and he said, I'm going to shut that down in a heartbeat. And he did. And David said, a brutish man doesn't know this. He knoweth not. And neither doth a fool understand this. And we define those words as somebody who would be indifferent, arrogant perhaps, unreceptive to God's ways. It's a very dangerous place to be. Brother Branham said, a man or a woman, he said, who consecrates themselves and forsakes the things of the world, gives their life entirely over to Christ, is eating off the manna day and night, whether the storms are flying outside or what, he's hid in Christ. How many can say amen? So there will be storms and things that happen in your life and things that happen around us. There's mounting trouble on the horizons of the United States of America. How many would agree? I don't think you need to be a brain surgeon to figure that out, that there are things that are changing in our country. And you know what? When storms are raging around you and when things are happening that are unpredictable, for the person who is eating from the right tree, they're eating the right manna, and they're sealed away in Christ, they can let the storms fly out. They're hid in Christ. Make any difference whether there's sickness in the house, trouble on the line, doesn't make a bit of difference. He's hid in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, that's the place where you and I need to be. There's a lot you cannot do about the world around you. There's a lot you cannot do about the circumstances we face. But you can make your calling and election sure and make sure you're in the right place with God. 1963, I believe, yes, sir, we have water that's available in the baptistry, and we're glad to baptize anybody who wants to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not too late. I don't believe it's too late. I believe that there is still grace available for the repentant sinner. Prisoner, 1963, Brother Branham says, and let God take his word and yoke us up together with God's word. He said, may the Holy Spirit take us now as we hear the yoke click around our hearts. From tonight on, I take you at your word, and don't think your own thinking. This is what he says. Think my thoughts, think my will, and I will lead you. From tonight on, this is what Brother Bam says, if we should say, from tonight on, Lord, I take you at your word. Don't think your own thinking. God says, think my thoughts, think my will, and I will lead you. That's a great little piece of advice. Think my thoughts, think my will, and I will lead you. So what's free moral agency? Let's define it real quickly here, because there's a lot of things that happen in our world that really are understandable, and sometimes we wonder, how could a person do such a thing? And how could a person decide or make a decision to do certain things that they do? There's a lot of evil and suffering that happens in the world, and I believe that our departure from God as a people, as a culture, our departure from God is a reason that there's so much suffering and evil in this world. Yeah, it comes back to Satan. We know that he's the instrument and the author of evil and so forth. But I believe that a culture that has promoted a departure from God is also part of the blame. Would you agree? A culture, a government, an educational system, a society that devalues God, that devalues the Bible. Come on, somebody say amen. that takes away, purity, that promotes immorality, that fosters homosexuality, and tries to take God out of government, and tries to take God off the money, and tries to take God out of school, and tries to strip the culture of anything that's moral. Hey, listen, if we went on long enough, we'd be like Russia. In Russia, there's no mention of God or a higher power, and never intended to have that. And I can tell you something personally, having witnessed the free fall of the culture there, and the moral values they used to have, and the integrity and character they used to have. And I tell you what, it's absolutely heartbreaking to see the condition that families are in, even when they come into the faith, to see the condition that they're in. And you wonder, how is this possible? A free moral agent, by definition, would be someone who has the ability to make a moral judgment based on a notion of right and wrong, and to be held accountable for these actions. So when a person, not a child who not old enough to understand, but when a person begins to hear what is right and wrong, they're taught about what's right and wrong, and then they're able to make a decision based on a notion of right and wrong, and be held accountable for their actions, then we would say that they are a free moral agent. A moral agent is being capable of acting with reference to right and wrong. Therefore, by this definition, then, we know that all of us are created this way to make choices. Animals don't make choices, right? They're led by instinct. They're led by, the forces of nature. But human beings are different because we are able to reason, we're able to think, and we're able to make choices, right? Some of you are looking at me funny. Let's look at what Brother Branham said in the beginning of his ministry. What is sin? He said in the sermon called Ministry Explained. He said it's not drinking, smoking, gambling, not rejecting church. Sin is unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. You're not destroyed or separated from God because you're a sinner. You're separated from God. Hey, listen, we're all born in sin, right? Right? So you're not rejected by God because you're a sinner, because we're all on the same level. You're separated from God because you refuse to walk with Him, to walk in His provided way. God knows we came into the world as a sinner, but He made a way for us. And so therefore, He would judge you because you rejected the offer that was made by Him. You've got death and life before you, just like Adam and Eve. Every man's a free moral agent. God said, here, you can eat of the trees, but you can't eat of this one. Now they had a choice. God actually gave them a choice whether they're going to obey that or disobey that, right? God didn't make them do that. He gave the law. He gave His will. He declared it very clearly and gave them the freedom to be able to act the way that they wanted to act. And you've got death and life before you, just like Adam and Eve. Every man's a free moral agent. And the tree of life and the tree of death is before us all. You can take either one you wish to. God created you a free moral agent to do whether you want to do about it. He don't make you love Him. He don't force you to love Him. Hold on to that. God does not make you, He does not force you to love Him. God could do that, right? I can force my children, when they're younger, I can force them to go to church. But I can't force them to love God. I can force them to be respectful to their mother, but I can't force them to love their mother. If I force my wife to love me, this is important, now we're going to come back to this. If I force my wife to love me, I'd be afraid to marry her. But she accepted me for what I was and married me. And she loved me and she accepted me that way. And that's the way we come to God. He wants us to love Him and to come and to believe His word. Wow. All right, so let's go back to paragraph 49, and let's put it back in the spiritual sense. If God forced the bride to love the bridegroom, it'd be a different marriage, wouldn't it? I'd do it because He told me I had to do it, and I don't want to do that, but I do it because, he made me love Him, and I don't have a choice in it at all. But the bride accepts Him for what He is. And He accepted us for who we are. and we're married together, and she loved me and she accepted me that way. Oh, I'll tell you what, I believe the bride of Christ, when we get on the other side, it'll be the consummation of a love story that began at the cross. Let me tell you something. The missing piece out of the Old Testament, in all of its law and all of its history and all of its content, the thing that was missing out of the Old Testament, or the thing that was not really understood, or the thing that was not really grasped, was this. For God so loved the world. Jesus all of a sudden comes on the scene, and the first doctrine he preaches to Nicodemus is about the subject of love. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And now redemption is not by law. And redemption is not by offering bulls and blood and lighting candles here. But redemption now is through Christ Jesus. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was God's intent, wasn't it? To save mankind. He said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He doesn't say he that smokes is condemned. Or he that misses church is condemned. He doesn't say that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Sometimes in life, here's the last sermon of Brother Branham, December 1965. Sometime in life we have to confront the thing, just like this young man did, the young ruler who came to Jesus, who asked Jesus the right question, the right time, and got the right answer. And he said, this young man came and asked Jesus, he said, because you are a mortal being and you're given the opportunity of choice, you have a choice. God made you, God made it, so you can choose. If he put Adam and Eve on free moral agency, so they could choose, and then they made the wrong choice, he can do no more to you than he did to them. And he's got to put you on the same thing so you can choose or reject. Wow. I wonder, could you this morning imagine a world without free moral agency? That's pretty hard. Because most of you chose to come here, right? You're not here because I forced you. You're not here because I made you do it. But we're here because we wanted to come. We wanted to be a part of things, right? Now, some of you kids are looking at me, you know, hey, can I have a word? But is this a playground out here with new rocks on it? And, you know, there's, you know what I'm saying. Let's imagine, though, a world without free moral agency. What would it be like if we were not at all given any choices? What would it be like if we were not given any say in the matter at all? Brother Branham said, in the marriage of the Lamb, many will say, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, or drinking, or gambling, and lying, and stealing, I'll serve him. But that's up to you. That's what he says. So you got to do something too. And they that overcome shall inherit all things. You have the power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. Because the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. But God could not push you through a little pipe, pull us out on the other end, saying, blessed is he that overcometh. You had nothing to overcome. He pushed you through. That's a world without free moral agency, right? That's where God does everything. So in other words, if you're a person who would smoke and, you know, there's a group of people out in front of you that maybe they're offering you, getting ready to offer you a cigarette, and all of a sudden, boom, they're vapor. God blasted those people out of existence, and you're still there sitting, you know, I probably would have took one, but I don't have a choice in the matter. God takes away all my problems. God takes away all my temptations. He said, you've got decisions for yourself, and I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respects to God. We show our faith and respects to God. So let's just say we're living in a world where there's no free moral agency and there's no choice. Let's just imagine that for a moment here. And I'm God. And I've got a book. And everybody's name's on the book who's going to be there in heaven. And I visited this church, and I said, when I look at the book, and I said, oh, yeah, okay. Gunter, G. Gunter, Name? Manuel? Oh, you're there. Name?
Noah.
Yeah, I know you. I know your grandfather. Name?
Joseph.
Yeah. What?
Cockman. Joseph Cockman.
Let me take a look. C. Not here?
Sure.
I'm God. You got another question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but he doesn't belong here.
But I want to be here.
Well, it doesn't matter. What you want doesn't matter because I'm the one who makes all the decisions here. And these guys I know, you I don't know. So I'm sorry, but you gotta go.
I want to be
Well, that doesn't matter. I know what you're saying. It doesn't matter, but you got to go. Because it isn't up to you.
So,
it's up to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm God. So we live in a world without choices here. I don't know where you're thinking you can make a choice and change things around here, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to go. So if you don't mind, I don't want to have to call the deacons, but if you don't mind.
What?
No, I'm sorry, but if
okay.
You can take your Bible if you want.
Oh, thank you.
And appreciate you coming. All if right. You put anything in the offering, thank you for that.
Okay.
Bless All right, God bless you. We'll see you later.
Bye.
That's that. You know what that is? That's a world without a free moral agency. Because I've determined who's going to be here and who's not. And I have the right to put anybody out and the right to put anybody in. Huh. It's a good question. It's a good thought to think about this. Now, for some of you kids, don't worry. There's another door that's open, and he'll be back. So Brother Branham's in Ohio. He's in Dayton, Ohio, and it's Sunday. The Amish restaurant that he... It's all right, Mark. He's got another way in. Yeah, keep it locked so he didn't come in that way. Brother Branham's in Ohio. He eats at this... He's there for a meeting, and he's eating at this Amish-type restaurant, Mennonite-type place. And he goes there regularly, and Sundays it's closed because they're church-going people. And so he can't eat there. So Brother Branham goes to another diner. In this diner, you remember the story, there's a jukebox going, there's a bunch of people there, and there's a state trooper in there, and there's gambling going on. And Brother Branham's in there, and he's just so grieved by their conduct. Sees an old woman in there, and she's trying to solicit somebody, you know. And I mean, it's just all kinds of evil things that are going on in that restaurant. And Brother Bram's sitting there eating his dinner. It's just between services, and he's eating his dinner. He's just becoming more grieved all the time looking at this. And he's just thinking, well, how terrible. How much God's got to put up with the garbage of this earth, you know. And he's just, and these are his own words. He's just talking about this and looking at it. And he feels like, all right, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go over and talk to these people and preach to them and let them know how bad this looks in the eyes of God. All of a sudden, Brother Branham breaks into a vision. I'm paraphrasing. Brother Branham breaks into a vision and he sees the earth. And the earth is revolving, but around the earth is a bumper of blood. He said it was just like an automobile bumper and it was around the globe. And Brother Branham said that Jesus was standing there bloodied and torn and beaten like he was on the cross. And he said every now and then sins would come up. And he says they would come from the earth and they would be heading to heaven. They would be heading to God. And all of a sudden they would be caught in that bumper of blood. And Jesus would turn weary and say, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. And this went on for a while, and Brother Branham was looking at this vision before he's going to go talk to those people. And then he realizes something that he didn't catch in the very first, something very important, and that was, these are not their sins, these are my sins. And he said the blood was acting like a bumper on the automobile, and it was protecting me from death. And I thought, oh, I see. And I seen it come again, and there was an old book laying out there, and my name was written at the top. And it was a sinner's book, the book of life, smuttered up by my name at the top. And I'd sin, and it'd be recorded against me, and God would have took my life. But the blood of Christ protected me. And every time it would hit, I'd see it like that. And I'd see those scars on his face from his thorns. And he'd say, Father, forgive him. And then I'd go along and I'd do something else and then it would come again. Father, forgive him for he doesn't know what he's doing. And if that's the reason God, listen, If that's the reason God can't take the life of those people, those sinners, is because they are yet protected. They have a chance yet. The blood of Jesus is still protecting them. It's like a bumper to the world. Which means that grace is not lifted off our world. It's still there. And there are people still under that protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yea, the blood of Jesus Christ has covered the world like this. And every man, while you're here, you're still a mortal, a free moral agent. Now, does that mean that everybody gets the right to choose whether they have eternal life or not? That's not what he's saying. Because many are called, few are chosen. If you reject it and then you die and your soul goes beyond that, then you've judged yourself. God don't have to judge you. If you die without the blood of Christ, you're a sinner and you're lost. If you accept the blood of Christ, if you accept the blood, then you're in Christ and protected. So there's a protection by being under the blood of Christ. I will tell you what. That if you live in a house where the tokens applied, you're under the protection of the blood of Christ. And there's a lot of young people that feel like, hey, I can live this life. It's not so hard. And I can get out there in the world and sow my wild oats. And I can take care of this. I don't need mom and dad. And I don't need to go to church. And I can live on my own and get my own apartment. And I can live on the wild side. And they get out and they realize it's a very quick free fall down to the gutter. And they didn't realize they were protected because of the blood of Christ. And they got out from underneath the token where the token was applied. And now all of a sudden they're exposed to all the prejudgment things that are taking place in the earth. Because they made a choice. They know what's right and wrong. That's what a free moral agent is. Somebody who knows is familiar with right and wrong. But they made a determination. And therefore they're held accountable for their actions. So Brother Branham says, remember, he says, your stature here, your physical body, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression of the thinking of God, the Word. Now, you would do well, and we're going to run out of time here soon, but you would do well to go back and look at the message, who is this Melchizedek? Because Brother Branham really does a tremendous job in explaining this whole idea of election and predestination. So if you haven't read that sermon for a while, you ought to note it and take a look at it, because he talks about our origin and he talks about us being here and where we're going to. But he says, whatever you are, he says, you were in his thinking, and the only thing that you are is the expression of his thoughts. And after he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. And if it isn't, if you wasn't in his thinking, then there's no way at all for you to ever be there, for he is the one that gives eternal life. So you understand now, there are people that are possessors of eternal life. How many of you believe you have eternal life? Well, you didn't get that on a certain day. And you didn't plead and beg God for eternal life. You had to be in his thinking before the foundation of the world. So God put something in you to receive the word for your day. Because, listen, the word for your day is the path to the blood. And under the blood, you're protected, right? You say, isn't that kind of fixed? You better believe it. And thank God it is. How could you reject the message of the hour when God put something in you to receive that? And Brother Branham uses this illustration. You've heard it many times. You remember that eagle that was in the barnyard who was with the chickens but could not relate and could not identify? And all of a sudden, the mother eagle flew above, and instantly that eagle knew it was an eagle and not a chicken. That mother eagle never gave that little eaglet an identity, never made it an eagle. It always was an eagle. But that eagle just recognized it at the sound of the word for her day. You remember, Brother Bram said, how we read the scriptures, and not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God, he said, and that is his predestination. That is his predestination might stand true. He could choose before any time who. And that his predestination might stand true, he could choose before any time who. Whose names are on the Lamb's Book of Life. Right? God knew his own. My sheep know my voice. God is sovereign in his choosing. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And neither one of them having done good or evil. Many of the questions here, Brother Bam says in questions and answers, well, the bride and the church, I'm putting it just the way he said it, well, will the bride and the church, and he said you can't divide what they are. The bride is the elected of God. The church goes through, that's the one that says, whosoever will, let him come. But the bride is the elected of God. Hey, this takes more than just an hour here, so. But I just wanted to drop in some things here for you to think about. And I want you to hold on a second, because I'm going to conclude. In Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. Hey, that's not us, because we've been predestinated. That's not us. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Because now this is the gospel net being cast, right? This is the gospel net being cast. But we're the predestinated, we're in the first part of this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Brother Bram talks about the three wise men, and he says they were predestinated to see it, and they were right in line to see it. They got it, because the people was predestinated to eternal life. And all the Father has given me will come to me. Are we okay? Not what I did, not what I done, what I am or will be, but what He is, and I am in Him. And whatever He is, I'm part of Him. I'm saved because I'm part of Him, and He is God. I'm saved because I'm a part of Him, and He is God. Therefore, guess what lives in you? Deity lives in you, right? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I'm part of Him being His Son. So it ain't what I done, what I will do. It's what He has done. That's my trust right there. My trust is in the fact that He knew me before the foundation of the world, wrote my name on the Lamb's Book of Life, send me into this earth, gave me mom and dad and grandpa, you saw some of the pictures, all the way back, and then God put something in me predestinated to catch the voice of God for this day, because there was something predestinated in me from before the foundation of the world. I'm saved because I'm a part of Him. I'm not saved because of my choices. But because I am elected and in the thoughts of God, I'm going to choose the right thing when it comes to the Word of God. Let me ask you on a day-to-day level, how many of you have ever made a wrong choice? Don't put up your hand. This is not the time to put up your hand. Don't put up your hand. Rewind. How many of you believe you're elected? And every hand would go up. How many of you elected people have done something that probably you shouldn't have done? Don't show your hands, folks. Gabe is scratching over here. Don't scratch at times like that, Gabe. On a day-to-day level, we're faced with constant choices, aren't we? To know to do right and not do it. Come on, folks. That's all of us. That's all of us. Well, we know to do right, and we don't always do it. Let me tell you something. Being an actor is a different thing. That's iniquity. All right, we got to wind up. Let me end on this and say this. If there is any kind of way of stepping back and thinking about God's program and God's way of doing things, and admitting that we don't always understand God's ways, it would have to be in His dealings with the Jews. And how that in the days of Jesus, and they were expecting the Messiah for all of those years since the Garden of Eden, and then when the Messiah actually came and He was rejected. And the gospel in Acts chapter 13 gets turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, and Paul says, lo, he says, we turn to the Gentiles. And now the Jews are cut out. Remember what I said in the beginning about that little boy in the car accident who had to be cut out. But you know, it was for his greater good. There was something that was being done here that was greater than this momentary discipline or this momentary pain that he encountered. And the Jews are cut out. If you read Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11, Paul explains very carefully how the Jews were cut out that somebody else might be brought in. That somebody else was you and I. Right? They were cut out that we might be grafted in and that we might live off the vine. And here's what Brother Branham says. as it was in Germany and up into Russia, Italy. The people raised up, the German people, the Italian people, raised up their Josephs, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, who hated the Jew. And they had to go back to their homeland. And God, you got ways of doing things that we don't understand. You press them. No home in Germany. They had homes in Germany. But now when this pressure comes, they had no home in Germany. I saw in Amsterdam, at Anne Frank's house, which you can go and still see it, and saw the yellow patches that they had to wear on their arms. And it's a sewn patch. They would have to wear it as an armband, or they wore it attached to their clothing. And they began to just use the media to publicize the fact that Jews are vermin. Jews, you shouldn't buy things from Jewish stores. Don't go to the Jewish watchmaker. Don't trade money at the Jewish banks. And they use the media to sow seeds of doubt, clouds over the Jewish people. And they're really enemies of the people and so forth. And they went from that to taking all of their books and burning them and Kristallnacht and all the other advances that they made against the Jews. And eventually they turned them out of their houses and put them in ghettos. I've stood in the Polish ghetto in Warsaw and seen the places where they were herded like cattle and put in there. And Brother Ram says, he says, God, you got ways of doing things that we don't understand. And you press them. No home in Germany. Everything taken away from them. University professors, bankers, and businessmen. He said also in Italy and Russia, no place to go. And they were sent back to their homeland just to fulfill the word. Let me tell you, they were not just sent back to their homeland. They had to escape with their life and nothing else back to the homeland. Many of them died on the ships that brought them back to the homeland. Are you ready for the next line? Oh, the loving hand of God. How sometimes it looks cruel, the way that people suffer, but it still is the tender hand of Jehovah. 1/3 of all the Jews in Europe died. 1/3 of all the Jews in Europe because of the Hitlers and the Stalins and the Mussolinis. And they were driven out. Many of them couldn't go, didn't go. And here he says, it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading his little children. We thank you, Lord. And now I pray as I see the day the denomination is pressing believers. Wow, look at this. He draws a connection. He says, as I see this day now, and the denominations, there's a system that's pressing believers where we can't stay where we used to stay. Excommunicating them. Their name must be on their book, or they're lost and have nothing to do with the other group. He said, it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading them to the tree of life. You know who he's talking about here? He's talking about us. That you got here, not always by a series of happy choices. You got here not always by, oh, well, hey, that's a great church. We love it here, but we're going to go. A lot of times we left in frustration. There's a lot of times we leave because of circumstances that are not always so good. But you know what? If the footsteps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, God has led us to the place where we can feed on the true, pure, unadulterated tree of life. We can commune with Him as His guest at His table. And you know what? It's the tender hand of Jehovah. It's God's way of leading us to this place and God's way of bringing us to this place. And may we be led to the tree of life that we might be a possessor of eternal life. To see the hand of God and by the eyes of faith, look beyond these shadows that we're walking in today and see the promised land just ahead. Isn't it true? Isn't it true that if God is in control and He's leading us to where He wants us to be, one of these days He's going to lead us right from this body into His glorious kingdom. But we had to come to this before we come to that. And none of us wake up and say, Lord, give me the hard way. Lord, give me the narrow way. And if you don't mind, just take away everything I have and take away all my joy and take away all my friends and take away our church building and give just, Lord, if you don't mind, just load on the hardships and the brutal treatment. We don't pray that way. We pray prayers of protection. But in reality, it's probably a good thing. In reality, I'm glad that he has control. In other words, you remember that little statement I said in the very first year where Brother Bram told us how to pray? Think my ways. Think my will. And I'll lead you. Because his ways are higher than our ways. And we sometimes look at it and say, well, hey, we're the bride of Christ. Nothing should happen to us. Nobody should be against us. Nobody should cause us any problems. And we shouldn't have any problems. And all of a sudden we have problems. All of a sudden, you know, things turn. Hey, in our government, in our world, things can turn pretty quickly. And you know what you'd find then? You'd find a lot of people who come here only for the Sunday snacks. And I trust I'm not speaking to anybody. But if you're here for the social arrangement, or you're here just to see what I'm going to do to Brother Joseph next Sunday, hey, we got to have a deeper anchor than that. We got to have a more solid rock that we're standing on than that. We got to have a more firm conviction of that. We got to be able to say, hey, many are called, few are chosen. I'm one of them. I know I'm one of them, and I believe that. I'm falling back on what I know, and I know that my name was on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But we still got this question of the free moral agency. And let me say this. And I don't have time to really explain it, but let me just conclude by saying this. That if God loves us, and he does, and he wants us to love him, because like Brother Branham said in that other quote I gave you there, if my wife was forced to love me, I'd be afraid to marry her. God does not force us to love him. In the act of love towards his bride, he gives us choices. He's got to give us choices. He's got to give us the freedom to be able to walk away. Like somebody, maybe a boy and a girl, they're talking to one another. Before they're bound in an eternal commitment of marriage, they have a right to be able to walk away from that. If they feel like this is not for me or this is not the time, and they walk away from that, they have a freedom to do that. And you know what? You and I have a freedom to walk away. We could walk away from the church. You could walk away from the message. There's no deacon going to stop you. There's no policeman going to stop you. If you felt like not coming to church, you'd have a choice to do that. I mean, you'd have the freedom to do that. You got your car, you could drive away, you could walk away. But you know what? The reason why the bride stays is because not legislation, but love. And what did Jesus say that the most important thing was in the New Testament, greater than the law? And they said, what's the greatest law? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, and sum it all up like this. He said, you love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And the relationship's got to be based on love. And how can it be a love relationship if I tell you, you got to love me? Or I force you, you got to love me? It can't be that way. It's got to be, we still have to have choices. And that's why from the beginning of Brother Branham's ministry to the end of his ministry, we're here because we love him. And God gives, he allows men to make choices. You know lots of people in this world who make bad choices, right? They make choices to hurt people. They make choices to hurt themselves. I heard of a man this week who committed suicide and just, you know, ended his own life. And I didn't know the man, but he was connected to someone in our neighborhood. And I just thought, I was just thinking, I was out last night just walking by myself, and I was just thinking, wow, you know, how bad life must be for someone who had a pair of twin girls, lovely girls, and you know, just to come to the place where he's going to end his own life. And that's his choice. That's something that he chose to do himself. Whether the circumstances, we have no idea. Just a terrible tragedy. But people hurt themselves. People hurt other people. And people, you know, make decisions just based on greed and based on power and based on money, based on getting things for themselves and bringing countries to war. Choices. But the choices that God gives to us, he has to give it to us because it's a love relationship. And a love relationship is not based on legislation. You shall love me, you're in the bride. You shall love me, you shall not, and so forth. It can't be a love relationship if it's based on being forced or coerced into doing something. And so God puts the whole world on free moral agency from Adam all the way down to our time. And the last sermon Brother Branham preaches, he says we're all created on the basis of free moral agency. But God places something in the bride that, I'll tell you what, you just love them with all your heart, and you just, when you hear the word and you hear the message and you hear the truth and the way somehow God makes it click and God makes it real in your heart, it's just something that you can't turn away from. And I'll tell you what, it's not because I got to be here. It's not because I got to preach it, or I won't get paid or something. That isn't it. I love to preach. I love to preach here. I love to preach the gospel and love to see lives change and so forth. And it's just, you have a love relationship with Him that matches no other love. It's greater than the love for your football team. It's greater than the love of your money. It's greater than the love even of your family, your natural family. And God puts this love that's deep. No matter, hey, heavens and earth can pass away. And Job could stand there and witness the destruction of his entire family and his estate. And he can still say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because he's got a personal love for God that is unparalleled. Why doesn't God stop everything? All the calamities and the hurt and all of that. Why doesn't God do that? Let me tell you, God will. It will end. It will end. When the grace of God is lifted and the bumper of blood is lifted, and God takes all of those that believe Him and all of those that are His and takes them all into that dimension, then let me tell you, all of that will be done away with. Because God's intent was to create a world of peace and harmony and love, and God is going to bring us back to that again. And when we go back to that world, we will stand there and say, I love Him because He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's have our musicians just slip up quietly. And I realize that in the midst of all of this world where everybody has a choice, I realize it was the tender hand of Jehovah that led me to the tree of life. It was a tender hand of God that brought me back into His presence and it gave me an understanding of His Word and just gave me a desire to take His name, to let go of my life, surrender my life, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender my life to Him. That was not my choice. I feel like I responded to the calling of God. I'll tell you what, He orchestrates, He ordains things that happens to us. And I'm so grateful for that. And I love Him more. I love Him more now than I ever have. The reason why there's a lot of evil in the world is because people choose to walk away from God's mercy. They make choices about their own lives and the lives of others. All the abortions that are committed in this world are a result of choices. But the love of God and the love to God is stronger than anything else, any other force in this world. We love Him. Let's stand our feet. I love Him. Just sing it now. Love me.
and purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sins have been washed from his memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. Sing it again now. My sins have been washed from his memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. One more time. He has forgiven. I've been washed from his memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven. Father, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we feel very much like someone like Esther, Lord, who is out there and never knew she was someone special and ordained to become the wife of a king. Lord, you had your eye upon her and brought her to a place. Lord, you're just so masterful at orchestrating events in our lives. Even though sometimes we don't see the big picture, Lord, we believe that you have woven together events in our lives, Lord, that
that brought us back to the tree of life, brought us back to our real family, brought us back to our Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you had your hand upon us, Lord, that you have a predestinated plan that has ordained certain things to happen. Lord God, we look in the world and look at how just so many different things, Lord, take place. Sometimes we don't understand it, and it's just sometimes just a lack of the love of God in people's hearts, lack of grace in their lives, lack of protection because they're out from underneath the blood of Christ. But Lord, we ask that you would just be merciful to your children, your family. And Lord, you would have just special mercy and grace, Lord, to our young people that are here. Because Lord, coming into that age, they're able to make choices. And Lord, we want them, we pray for them to make right choices, good choices. Lord, we pray that we would be a witness of the grace of God, an example of the grace and mercy of God. And just, Lord, to be thankful in our hearts, thankful in our conversations for all you've done for us. We feel blessed. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those that are maybe sick today, those that are reaching out to you, and ask that your Holy Spirit would just draw near to them, Lord, and to help them in their hour of need. We believe you to be a prayer-answering God, one who knows and understands what we go through, because you're able to be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Have your way, I pray. Bring us back at the appointed time. Lord, we just always want to stay close to you. We want to think your thoughts and learn your ways and be led by you. Father, have your way, we pray. In the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. Sing as you go this morning.
Consume. about his love.